Your night. I didn't share with you the agony and the tribulum that drove me that year to Rome when I wrote that book. Very similar. Was the pain. Very different. The happening. And at that time, I didn't think I would be in ministry the following year. But I went back again and again and wrote the book to that little hewn out rock cistern. And wrote that book I read the other night. I've told you many times, and Satan sure doesn't want this to happen. I've told you many times of the prophecy of Claire Grace. The severe stress and tribulum that I'd gone through, and the day that I gave up at a motel in Fresno, sitting outside by the pool, no less. I didn't see any of that situation. I wrestled in a battle for more than 3 years and knew that I was whipped, and I gave up and got the call from Ralph Wilkerson to go down to preach at Melody Land. And as I was preaching, Claire Grace in front of me, I didn't know her well but knew who she was very anguished based upon the expression on her face, disturbed. And when I finished preaching, she asked if she could talk to me. She said, "I have to talk to you, Dr. Scott." And we went into Ralph Wilkerson's side room, his office. He was in London. And she proceeded to tell me that as I was preaching, it was as though a television screen had appeared on the front of the pulpit that I was standing behind, and she saw things as though she was looking at a screen. And she said, "You've been going through a valley for the last 3 years." And I said, "Yeah," or thereabouts. Then she started telling me details that nobody knew. And that had to happen, or I wouldn't have listened. And this hard head who finds it harder to believe than most people, and have worked at my faith through the years, when she began to tell me details that no person knew, no way she could have known, she got my attention. And she said, "God let you go through this to see if you would depart from your word-based ministry. It was a test, and you passed the test, and now God showed me 5 other things." And she just spit them out. I intend to tell this story tonight. I've told it before, and you know that. It's always been hard for me to tell. She said, "You're going to come out of the valley. Maybe weeks, maybe months. May get worse, but you're going to come out of the valley." In that case, I was enslaved to a terrible financial problem associated with helping my dad get his church started in Oroville. The mistake my dad had made that he grieved about for years had put us in a position where there seemed no way out. You're going to come out of that valley in a matter of weeks or months. I'm going to anticipate and just say it got worse, and I thought the end would come on March 1st of the following year. This was in the fall when Claire prophesied. I still remember the need, which is so small now in comparison to what God's done over the years, but to a teacher of the word traveling at about $100 a week maximum, because teachers were not much in demand in those revival days in the 1960s. And $47,000 was the need, or the church was going to go under. And on the last day of February, a man that's the last man on earth I would have thought would have done it, came into my office and handed me a check for $100,000. I still remember almost running into parked cars, crying as I went down the road to show the check to my dad. That was just the beginning. A couple of months, a man that I didn't even know that had gotten some advice from me because the Bank of America had recommended they talk to me about something. A man down the Bay Area gave over $250,000 worth of property, including a shopping center that we sold. By midsummer, another $166,000 had come in, and I couldn't hardly catch the bus as God poured in His blessing. And the track record tells me, as I look back in the midst of my current tribulation, that what Clara Grace said was from God. I do not believe in personal prophecy unless it is checked by the Word of God. It cannot be contrary to the Word of God to all of us. Now, I've had all kinds of people come up and tell me, the Lord told me to tell you this. I said, well, I've been talking to Him recently. Tell Him, tell me. The general Word of God had better not be contradicted. Secondarily, Deuteronomy says, the test of a prophet, what they say will come true. So at the time when Clara Grace gave me the prophecy, she got my attention by telling me details she didn't know. And she got my hopes up with her word as the first phase of the prophecy that I'd come out of the valley. I tell it differently tonight than I have in the past because the track record, there's nothing she said that was contrary to God's word, and the track record was it started happening. That made me think the others would happen. I traveled around the world, kept my leash tied to the little church up in Oroville. Had gone through a personal tragedy in subsequent years that riveted me to God's Word as I preached through Romans with no more than 50 people present, having left conventions with, in one case, the Kiel Auditorium in St. Louis with 11,000 pastors present and in demand for conventions all over the country. But Clara Grace's prophecy, as I unfold it, said, not only would I come out of the valley, I would come to a settled place from which I wouldn't move anymore. And my life had been characterized by moving. I set up offices in Tulsa. I set them up in Springfield, Missouri, Washington, D.C., Portland, Oregon, various places. And as she unfolded this that she had seen on TV, she said, you will come to a settled place in your ministry and you will not move anymore from that place. And she said, I don't know how to describe it poetically, but as though I saw a pure white marble pillar that held up and sustained a great canopy. Third, from this settled place, she said, God's going to take your voice. Now, at that day, I traveled a lot. In no way I could conceive or foresee what was going to happen. But she said, God's going to take your voice and send it to the whole world. And in this last day, God is going to pour out His Spirit, but there will be many tangential voices rise up that lead people astray. God's going to take your voice worldwide as a steering voice or like a compass point to which men can take a bearing in these last days, because it's anchored on God's Word as He's tested you in these last 3 years. Fourth, because many of these tangential voices leading people astray will point to miracles to justify what they're doing, God is going to attach miracles to your ministry because your ministry is based upon the Word of God to counterbalance these tangential voices. Now, I'm going to pause there. I came out of that valley, I mean, with a soaring leap of blessing. And in terms of my own personal ministry and life, I've not been able to keep up with that bus of blessing ever since. I thought maybe the settled place was that little town of Orville. I even wrote an article once, taking George Mueller as a pattern. If God does it from this place, it'll be clear God did it, not the place. I then thought San Francisco was the place, and I've told you in more detail this story. I then thought Faith Center was the place. I then thought Hope Street was the place. And at all of those stops, I tried to go worldwide. Anybody, when I'd seen the tracking of what God had done, just like Jacob, who sought to encompass God's will in his own strength, I felt I'd seen enough of God's fulfillment that going worldwide was in his plan for me. And I used to lament in the early years at Faith Center that my parish was the world. And yet he grabbed me and tied me down to this church. Then I thought I was accepting it and said, what makes me different from some of the other television preachers is that they're trying to cover everywhere and I'm called to Los Angeles, San Francisco, and Hartford, Connecticut. So God had to disturb us, take away our stations, to force me to go satellite. And I tried many times to go worldwide, and there are people still in this congregation who remember attempts, and then we'd have to back up. It would have been hard to explain the sequence of Clara Grace's prophecy if I'd gone worldwide in Orville, or gone worldwide in San Francisco, or gone worldwide in Faith Center, and I thought Hope Street was it. We had a ministry wide and far, but not worldwide. Everybody knows. You got your eyes in your head. Within months after moving to the cathedral, God took us worldwide. I took a step of faith in Anguilla. We're still trying to get in on the air, the shortwave. God, in one leap, has taken us until my voice right now can be heard on every square inch of this globe. I've been saying, and Satan knows it, that miracles are next, and I more and more read the reports of miracles and lives touched, and I reported last week the miracle in my own case of a medical diagnosis. And I look in the congregation and can show you videotapes of Buddy Garcia walking death and Buddy Garcia now, sitting in the congregation, Mrs. Butterfield, or Butterworth, in a coma. Called in her friends and family. She's in a coma. And we prayed. And you'll see her sitting in the congregation Sunday morning. Miracles keep coming in. And I said, that's the next phase. We're just starting to get the earnest of it. And we have aroused the big generals of Satan, the cosmocratoros, translated world rulers of this darkness. You don't send General Schwarzkopf to put down a riot in Watts. You send General Schwarzkopf the big guns when there's a world war, and there have been two world wars. We know the difference between them, and as bitter as it is, an exchange in the Balkans. And I started preaching a few weeks ago, or a few months ago, why we have had so much pressure and tribulation. And using we, because the attacks seem to be on the church as a whole, and the parts of it that affect the church as a whole. And then I felt like I'd gotten enlightened, even though I taught so many times on Ephesians 6. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, that's archos, rulers, and powers. The Greek is exousios, authorities. And the cosmocratoros, world rulers of this darkness. I've done dot notes on archos and exousios. Then I began to pay attention when we were just Los Angeles, San Francisco, and Hartford. They're tough archos to deal with, tough exousios to deal with, because every city has got its hierarchy of the prince of the power of the air. They're doing their dirty work. And though he's not omnipotent and isn't omnipresent, he has enough demons to make sure there's at least one on all of us. And one poor guy and boy in the Gadarenes had 1,000 in him. 200 million are chained above Iraq and Iran, if you want to know why so much evil comes out of that area. But all of a sudden it dawned on me Satan didn't have to use his biggest guns when we were in Oroville or San Francisco or Los Angeles, as important as these cities are. But all of a sudden, I am the only voice, and you are the supporting structure for the only voice that is heard 24 hours a day on every square inch of this globe. If I were Satan, I'd bring my Schwarzkopfs and my MacArthurs and my Pattons in. Cosmocratoros. We've been being knocked around with big guns. We aren't in little tank towns anymore. It's heavyweight championship. World War III in the spiritual realm. And those that are a part of this ministry, you better understand the forces arrayed against us. And Satan now knows the voice is in place and the miracles are next. And he's launched his greatest attack. And through the struggles of the last few weeks, as I've examined every motive of my heart, and rooted some of it out that tried to argue with God and turned again to the Word, I know I even was so rocked that I even questioned, am I going the right direction? I know I am. And that, I don't think I know. I know I know. And this prophecy of Clara Grace will be fulfilled. And this is just some more tribulation. And I want to blame Satan for all of it, because the Cosmocratoros are out there. But there's not only tribulation. I can go ahead. I don't need Morgan. There's the kingdom. Satan has to ask. And as I said last night, quoting Morgan, some fool said Lucifer would rather rule in hell than serve in heaven. The fool that said that better understand God's going to rule in hell. God rules everywhere. And I haven't wanted to accept it. But as last night I came again to see that the disturbances that come are of God, because He wants us to break camp and go on. The tribulation comes under the kingdom. And there's nothing that comes into the life of the saint of God. I'm coming to grips with it and returning to it as I preached it to you for 19 years. And what's good for you has to be endured by me and good for me too. Tribulation is part of the trip. And it's under the kingdom. It's part of God's plan. And I've asked you, I once preached a sermon on the text that Paul uses on this same word in Romans 5. Tribulation worketh patience, endurance. And endurance worketh triedness. And triedness produces hope. And leads to that firm conviction of glory over there, outraying in His image. God knows we're taken on the Cosmocratoros. And you learn by the conflict, as the eaglets learn by being pushed out of the nest. We're up against some tough customers. And as the miracles are added to the ministry, Satan wants to stop that, because that's further confirmation of the ministry. And God wants us tough enough to face the tests that lie ahead. And the toughness has to start with me. I don't like it. I thought it was going to kill me. I really think I'm going to make it now. And I claim this promise, a woman when she is in travail has sorrow, because her hour is come. It's my hour of tribulation. I have to look at it and hear from the tribulation the voice of the teacher that says, this is the way, from out of Isaiah, walk ye in it. But when she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the tribulation, for the joy that a man is born into the world. Claire Gray said five things. After the miracles, I'd come out of the valley. I did. I'd come to a settled place. Here I am. The mark that it's the place, I would then be taken worldwide. I am. Miracles would be added. They are. But she said a fifth thing. She said there will come a note of joy into your ministry that's never been there before. I'm accepting. A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow because her hour has come. My hour has come. But when she is delivered of the child in all that agony, she remembereth no more the tribulation for the joy that a man is born into the world. If you've been worrying, I'm going to come through this. And I claim the promise, the valley of Acre, where, and hear me closely, death came to that family of Achan that would take what was God's and bury it in his tent. And the work of God could not progress. God said to Joshua, quit praying about it, take care of Achan. And when Achan was stoned and his family and buried in the valley of Acre, that valley of Acre, the ancient prophet years later said, became the doorway of hope. I know God's in charge. I'm going to go through this valley of weeping. And may God grant us the doorway to that fifth prophecy, a joy that's never been in my ministry. Because as my sorrows translate to you, my joy will translate to. Will you say it with me? We made it through 1995 and 6 until Jesus comes. Get on telephone.